A battle is being waged over the literary legacy of Franz Kafka. On one side, the State of Israel. On the other, a family in Tel Aviv. During his lifetime, Kafka published very little. Much of his work has been largely kept secret under the watchful eye of a mysterious, reclusive woman. Literary scholars have long wondered what gems they might find among Kafka's papers, and, as Shira Frankel reports, they may finally get a chance to look for themselves.
I'm standing in front of a small building on Tel Aviv's Spinoza Street, and there are cats everywhere. The building in front of me is small and squat, with a dirty pinkish stucco that looks like it's seen better days. How Kafka's papers made their way to the small Tel Aviv apartment owned by self-professed cat lady Eva Hoffe seems like a story that only Kafka could have written.
It's a big secret. It's the $1 million question.
For the last 40 years, the women of the Hoffe family have held an assortment of Kafka's primary drafts, letters, drawings, and possibly manuscripts. Ofer Aderet, with the Haaretz newspaper, says the women have guarded them closely, and to this day, no one is exactly sure what lies in their family home in Tel Aviv. Aderet has been following the 3-year court case over the ownership of the papers. The legal wrangling has pitted the Hoffe family against Israel's National Library. Aderet says that within the month, the courts are expected to issue their ruling. Newspapers, catalogs, and notebooks are stacked floor to ceiling in the apartment of Anat Peri, an academic and former researcher on the Kafka case for the Israel National Library. The story, she says, begins with a brown suitcase packed by Max Brod, a writer who is best known as Kafka's friend and biographer. When Kafka died in June 1924, he ordered all of his papers to be burned. But Brod did not honor the request. He kept the papers, and from them published most of what are known today as Kafka's works. In 1939, Brod fled Czechoslovakia for Mandate Palestine, with all of the collected papers in his suitcase. In Tel Aviv, he took up with Esther Hoffe, a woman he often refers to as his secretary, though most, including Peri, believed they carried on romantically under the nose of her husband and 2 daughters.
She did not raise them at home because she was all the days with Max Brod. I am not surprised if they blamed him for the kind of life they had, which are not very happy.
When Brod died in 1968, he left the papers to Esther Hoffe. She, in turn, left them to her 2 daughters, Eva and Ruth. Today, only Eva Hoffe is still alive. She's never married. She lives with her cats on Spinoza Street and is rarely seen in public. Peri says she seems depressed, especially after the death of her sister last month.
What is interesting about Hoffe that she said once, and this shocked me, she said, "I never married, I have no kids, I have only this legacy." In a way, I pity her, but I don't think she deserves having this legacy because it was not meant to become her legacy.
Harel Ashwal is one of the Hoffe family lawyers. He rejects Peri's claims that the Hoffe family interpreted Brod's will to suit themselves. He says the State of Israel has ruthlessly and aggressively gone after the Hoffe family to pressure them into handing over papers to which it has no claim.
The attempt to describe Kafka as some kind of Israeli writer or a writer with a connection to the State of Israel is nonsense. Kafka's papers won't get the respect they deserve in Israel, nor the treatment other countries can offer.
Ashwal, like many involved in the case, has little hope that the upcoming verdict will settle the dispute over Kafka's papers once and for all. He expects there will be numerous appeals, and it could be years until the issue is resolved. Aderet, the Haaretz journalist, says it's oddly fitting that this, too, should be part of Kafka's legacy.
I think that Kafka now could not rest in peace when 2 old ladies from Tel Aviv, a city he had never visited in his life, are fighting with the State of Israel, which was not existed when Kafka passed away. Yes, it is, of course, Kafkaesque. Kafka could not describe it better.
For NPR News, I'm Shira Frankel.